There's a subject in the New Testament that is seldom the subject of a sermon, really. It's what I'd like to talk to with you about this morning. Let me try to set the scene, if I may. Paul was terribly upset. Paul was really, really upset. He was disappointed with the church at Corinth on his return to this young church. Been on a missionary trip, and came back to the church at Corinth, and he came back and he was very disappointed and upset. And he writes in the 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about it. So turn with me, if you will, to that passage of Scripture, and we'll begin our reading with verse 17. So we'll give you time to get there now. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 17, and we'll read through verse 30. Paul writes, "I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into the one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had also supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Paul had been away a short time, and upon his return, he discovered that the leaders, the men of the church, had been lax in their responsibilities. There were disputes and divisions among the members. There were things like fornication taking place, and pride had replaced penitence in many of the people. In the short time Paul had been away, the Corinthian church had allowed the observance of their Lord's memorial supper to become just another occasion for eating and drinking in excess. "What shall I say to you?" says the disappointed apostle. "You are unworthy of any praise. You are guilty of making an abomination of the observance of this church ordinance, because many of you are spiritually weak. Many of you are like people who are asleep and unaware of the terrible desecration you bring to this memorial to your Savior. You're guilty of defiling the wounded body and blood shed to pay for your sins by the Son of God, who asked you to remember him until he comes again to gather his people unto himself forever." Possibly some of you may say to me this morning, "Preacher, that isn't what Paul said. That isn't what Paul said." I say, read it yourself. That is exactly what he said. Amen? You see, Jesus knew. Jesus knew how easily sin creeps into the church. How easily sin creeps into the church, into the body of Christ. He knew. And he knew a memorial observance was the best way to help keep sinners like the Corinthians and like you and like me remembering who we are and how we are to act because of who we are. See, Jesus knew that. Jesus knew how easy it was for me to slip back. Amen?
Sure.
To slip back. Now maybe none of you have problems like that. But I do.
Amen.
Who are we anyway? Who are we? Well, the we here referred to are the born-again children of the Creator of the human race. Therefore, if I understand Scripture correctly, we are His fleshly images. You and I. We are not only His fleshly images, but we are His witnesses and ambassadors in a lost and dying world. We are God's witnesses. The Hebrews were God's witnesses in the Old Testament. And look how often they failed Him. We're not going to fail Him. Why do you think Jesus said, "Remember me till I come"? Don't forget what I did for you. Don't forget how much I love you. Don't forget how weak you are, and don't forget how strong I am. Well, we're the members of Christ's living body, called in the New Testament the Ecclesia, the called out of this world, amen, called out of this world, in it but not of it, called out of this world, the church of believers in Christ and Christ alone for salvation. Called to eternal life. That's a tremendous calling, isn't it?
Amen.
And a tremendous responsibility. That is what we are, and the devil and his crowd know it and do everything they can to destroy it.
That's right. Yes.
And Jesus knew how easy it was for us to slip back. So he said, "Remember me. Don't forget me." How often the Scriptures in the Old and New Testament say, "Remember, remember when you were in Egypt? Remember when the Red Sea lay in front of you? Remember when you didn't have anything to eat?" And the New Testament says, "Remember who the false prophets are? Remember what I taught you? Remember what happened to my people in the old way? And now we have a new covenant and the devil still is attacking? Remember. 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 That is why the Apostle Paul was so terribly upset and disappointed with the Corinthians. They had backslidden into their own ways, and in partaking of the memorial supper of their Savior, they had become what? Hypocrites and blasphemers. Yeah.
Yes.
Saved people had become hypocrites and blasphemers. Am I correct, or is this just overemphasizing something? What did Paul say?
Sure.
Read it. We should read it, I guess, as the old folks used to say, and weep. I want you to think just a little bit about the church. You know, the church, not the Baptist, not the Methodist, the church in America today. Weak. Some asleep. Am I being too harsh? Am I saying don't take the Lord's Supper? Because, no, I'm not saying that. That isn't what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, before you take it, look in here. Clean it up. Clean it up, preacher. Amen? That's what he's saying. He's not forbidding them to take the Lord's Supper. He's saying, when you take it with a clean heart. That's all. As I said, the devil, he knows how he can destroy the church just by coming on in. Well, there we have it. A church that is weak and sickly, as I see so many of our churches today, a church that is weak and sickly, the church where many who should be loyal, active, and sacrificing for their Lord in his gospel message has lost its vision. You know, the writer of Proverbs said it better than anybody. King Solomon wrote these words pertaining to God's chosen people 900 plus years before the birth of Jesus. And listen to what he said. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That's Proverbs 29:18. Jesus said the same thing in another way. Here's how Jesus said it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's not easy to do, is it? Jesus knows it. So he said, remember me. Remember me. Preacher, when you get upset with Roberta, remember me. And when Roberta gets upset with you, forgive her because she's got every right to, because sometimes you're stupid. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying, Roberta? Yeah. But isn't that so? We're a family. We're a family. Aaron can't stand me sometimes. But he loves me. Do we understand that, I wonder? Yeah, sometimes I think we forget it in a moment. That's why we need to examine ourselves. That's all Paul is telling these people. Don't go back to where you were. Remember what Jesus did. Amen? Lord, we need that today. I'll tell you. These two things that I mentioned about being asleep, having no vision, so forth and so on, these two things were the problem with the church at Corinth. And Paul was addressing the same thing for the church. They had simply forgotten their first love and appeared, you see, and this is the problem. They had forgotten their first love and appeared before a pagan world as hypocrites and as blasphemers, on top of losing the vision of why they were saved by the very one that gave only two ordinances to his church. Only two ordinances. We don't have a whole plethora of things that he gave. Two, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And the one we're speaking of tonight and addressing tonight is the second, the Lord's Supper. So those are the only ones Jesus told us were ordinances. Remember, that's important. So the very ordinance that you and I will observe this morning in just a few minutes is this one he was so upset about them not taking seriously in common. This is the truth we must never forget, however, and Aaron offered it up in his prayer earlier, just a few minutes ago. He and I hadn't talked about this. He didn't know what I was going to preach on this morning. But this is the truth. Your and my worthiness is not found in our having been baptized, which is the first ordinance. But it's not found in that ordinance. Our worthiness is not found in me having been baptized or in our church membership or in our denominational affiliation. Not found there. Or in anything we have joined or done. Sorry. Our only worthiness is in the fact that our sins have been blotted out forever. Amen. Forever. By the shed blood in our behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus himself is our word. And in order to help us remember him and that he is our only worthiness, he gave us his ordinance. And all he says in the ordinance is a very simple, remember me. Don't let anything come between us. Amen. Isn't that great? We even get the power, the strength to do that through him. Wow. If you are his, then examine yourself this morning. Only you and he know for sure. My dad used to tell me, you know, you can fool people. But you can't fool little kids and puppy dogs. There's a lot of truth to that, isn't there? You can fool people. You can talk yourself. I was a good talker, boy. I could talk myself out of it. Particularly if I have two big guys to protect me, I could talk myself out of anything. That's when I was lost. Examine yourself.